Truman is giving me the go-ahead that we are now live. If you are still here, we experienced very minor technical difficulties. If you remember some of our earlier times in this lockdown, we had some major technical difficulties. But here we are. Welcome to Transformation Church. Everything's still good, Truman? We're good to go? All right. Welcome to Transformation Church online. Glad that you are here. Glad you can join us from wherever you're joining us from. And as I mentioned last week, we're not going to be opening with a song, at least for the next few weeks while we're still in lockdown phase, or for however long that continues, we'll keep you updated. We are going to close with a song. And so Hannah and Tyler have actually recorded a worship song, and at the end of the sermon, when we're done looking at Psalm chapter 120, we're going to have a worship song to close. So, we're going to jump in here in a minute. I just wanted to remind you, if you are prepared to give today, there's a couple ways to do that online. You can give through an e-transfer, so you can mail the church directly, transformationchurchtbay@gmail.com. You can send an e-transfer that way, or you can give through our app. So there's an app called Tithely. It's T-I-T-H-E.ly, Tithely. And you'll find Transformation Church on there, and you can give that way. And so that's a way to give. And again, just keep looking at the newsletters. We send out a weekly newsletter on Friday with anything newsworthy or up and coming. On the last 2 weeks, we've promoted Pastor Gene is going to be starting up the Grace Course. This is something that he's done every year for the last number of years. And it's a really powerful course. If you haven't gone through it, I would highly recommend it. In the last two newsletter emails, we gave information on that, and so you can contact Gene directly. And since we are in lockdown phase, he's going to be doing that online. So you, even if you're not in Thunder Bay, we actually had somebody reach out that was from Southern Ontario that wants to be a part of it. So you can do that. You can be anywhere and you can join in. So you can reach out to Gene, and if you have any questions, you can email the church or email me and I'll send you Gene's information. So we'd love for you to join in that. And I also want to say, again, I know I've thanked Truman before, but today it is just Truman and I in the building. So it's kind of strange as a pastor, you know, when you say yes to go and pastor, you never dream that you'll be speaking to a mostly empty room. So I'm glad Truman's here. It's great to have another live human being in the room. But I know there's a lot of you tuning in online, and I'm just glad that we're able to do this together. One of my consistent prayers during this lockdown has been just to thank God for the technology that we have available to us. If we were in a lockdown as strict as we are right now, and we had no technology for being able to see each other face to face, it would make things even more difficult and even more challenging. And so things are difficult, things are challenging. A lot of us are experiencing loneliness and just missing being around people. But I am thankful that we're able to have face to face conversations over Zoom and FaceTime and Google Duo and whatever it is you use. So I've been thanking the Lord for that. And so we're going to jump in this morning to Psalm 120. I'm really excited about this because this is the start of a new series. And so over the next few months, we're going to be in a series called the Psalms of Ascent. And these are Psalms 120 to 134 in your Bible, right in the middle. If you're not familiar with the scriptures, the book of Psalms is right in the middle of the Bible. And these are towards the end of the book of Psalms. And they are Israel's prayer book. So the ancient Israelites, the way they would have learned to pray was the book of Psalms. And the section of the book of Psalms that we're looking at, Psalms 120 to 134, is a specific section of Psalms called the Psalms of Ascent. And every year, sometimes three times a year, devout Jews would travel up to the city of Jerusalem. So if you didn't live in Jerusalem and you were a Jewish person, up to three times a year, you would travel up to Jerusalem. And in our graphic, which we shout out to Megan Ulrich, thank you so much for that, you can see the ascent. So Megan got us this graphic that represents this series, and it'll be behind the scripture slides. But you can actually see a path that would be leading up a mountain. And that's kind of what it would have looked like to travel up to Jerusalem. And so ancient Israelites, as they traveled up to Jerusalem for these annual worship festivals, they would sing these songs. And you're going to see over these next few months that what they sang about were real life issues. Today we're looking at a song that was sung by the ancient Israelites and written by an anonymous author who was just fed up with life as it was, like just tired of it. And you're going to see in the psalm that we're looking at today, Psalm 120, that this author was really, what they were really fed up with was that they had been lied to by their leaders. So government leaders, religious leaders, societal leaders, like the person writing this was like, I've been lied to. I've been told that if I do things a certain way, things will work out. My life will get better. Things are going to be great. But I've been lied to. And the person writing this is just fed up. They're like, I am upset. I'm fed up that I've bought into this lie that if I do things a certain way, it's going to fix my life. It's going to make things better. I'm tired of believing a lie. And this really is pertinent to, I think, how a lot of us feel today, especially during this pandemic, during this lockdown. It's easy to lose trust in our leadership, whether that's government leadership or church leadership or news. You know, a lot of people have lost trust in news at this time and feel like we've been deceived or feel like we've been lied to. And this feeling you're battling with, what I want to challenge you with is that this is not new to humanity. Every generation goes through something that's difficult, something that's challenging, and you get to a point where you feel fed up, where you feel like, well, who can I trust? Who do I look to? Who do I turn to? And back several thousand years ago, this psalmist had gotten to this point of just being fed up with the lies, fed up with being deceived, and actually looked to God in this time. And so this is not written in 2021 dealing with a global pandemic, COVID-19 restrictions and lockdowns, but the feeling, the wrestling, the difficulty that's being experienced by the person writing this is very similar to probably some of the things that you feel and sense today. And I'm always challenging people, and if you're around Transformation Church long, you'll hear me say, like, the scriptures, God has revealed to us what he's like in the scriptures, and they're applicable to our lives today. We don't read the scriptures together so that we become experts on what God did a couple thousand years ago. We read the scriptures because God has spoken to his people, and God doesn't change. He is the same today as he was 2,000 years ago. And so we get to see how he interacts with his people, how his people interacted with him. And we get to actually have more confidence because of that in how we interact with God and who he is. So I want to encourage you to really lean in as we look at this today. And so the theme that I want to draw, okay, from this chapter is repentance. So when you get fed up with something, with the way things are, with lies, whatever it is, there's a temptation to become cynical, to become sarcastic, to get to the point where you're just like, well, I just give up, right? And you give in to discouragement or cynicism or whatever it is. Or, according to the scriptures and what God, I believe, is speaking to us today, when you and I get fed up with things as they are or with being lied to or being deceived or whatever it is, we can turn to God and we can actually turn from the things that we were trusting. We can turn from what we were putting our hope in, and we can turn towards God, and we can find our peace and joy in him. And so the theme today is going to be repentance, and it might be from a different angle than what you're thinking or what you're used to. I just want to encourage you to really lean in. So I'm going to pray that the Lord speaks today. Ultimately, I don't want you to hear my opinions or my voice on this. I want all of us to be able to hear what God is saying and for us to know what it looks like to put that into practice in our lives. So I'm just going to pray that he speaks and that we are able to listen and hear him. Let's pray together. Lord, thank you for today. Thank you for everybody that's tuning in right now. God, wherever people are, I just ask, Holy Spirit, that you would speak in people's homes, whether they're driving in their car, whether they're out somewhere or tuned in from a location where they're not usually in wherever they are, Lord, I just pray, Holy Spirit, that you would speak and help us to have ears to hear what you're saying and give us the boldness to do the things you ask us to do. We love you, God. We look to you in this time. In Jesus' name, amen. So the theme is repentance, but I want to start with a story because to when you look at what is being said in this psalm, the writer of this psalm is just tired of being lied to, tired of being deceived, and just tired of life as it is. And remember, this is a song that was sung by the ancient Israelites as they ascended up to Jerusalem for these annual festivals. And so as they were leaving their routine, normal life, they would sing these songs out to God. And so they would break from normalcy. It was like taking a break from routine, normal, everyday life and giving focus, time, and attention to God. And as they were ascending up to Jerusalem, they're singing, and this is the first song, probably the first one that they would sing on their journey. And they would sing about how they'd been lied to by the world, right? So it was like a time of breaking away from normal life. And they would acknowledge the fact that they were disappointed by what life was giving them. And have you ever, I want to ask you this question, have you ever felt disappointed by what you're experiencing in this world and just in life? You know, are there things that you pursued that you thought, you know, either in the pursuit of those things or getting those things that it would give you peace and satisfaction, that it would actually be life, that it would be good, that you'd go, oh, this is it, I've arrived. Right? Are there things that you've pursued like that, and in the pursuit of them, and even maybe in attaining them, you've felt a sense of just disappointment? You've felt let down. I think probably all of us can relate with that, and I want to tell a story that kind of illustrates that a little bit. If you know me at all by now, you know that I'm an easily excited person. I love a new adventure. I love going and trying new things. And I'm excited about it. And sometimes I get really excited about something and the anticipation is actually better than whatever it is I experience. And so a few years into my marriage with Vicky, and I say a few years because we had our first three kids by this time, we had decided that we should go and get away with each other for our anniversary. And so our anniversary is in April. And at the time we were living in Moncton and we didn't have a lot of money. But I knew, like, you know, we had three kids at this point, life was busy, and we just wanted to get away and have a good time with each other. And so I planned to take Vicky out of the city somewhere, rent a motel, and go on some adventures. And my dad, I don't know if he's watching this or not, but my dad suggested this motel, and it was along the, and if you're familiar at all with the Maritime area, there's like the Petticoatiac River. It's called the Chocolate River, and so it's kind of famous for having like all these mud banks, and it just looks like chocolate because it's just filled with mud. Anyway, it's not super good looking. It's not a great looking river. Anyway, I rented a room at the Chocolate River Motel. I was super excited because Vicky and I were going to get away with each other, and I built it up like it was going to be awesome. And so anyways, the time came for us to actually go, and I hadn't actually seen this room that I rented. I found it online and rented it. And you know, we had a babysitter for the kids, and we made the trip, and we got to the Chocolate River Motel. And I remember opening the door, and it was just really jank. Like, it was not a great location, not a great motel. And Vicky was, like, holding back tears because it was just so bad. And we went into the room, which would be the room we were staying in, and we pulled the sheets back, and there was actually, like, dead bugs in the sheets. So, like, just gross, right? Like, it was just awful. And so Vicky was, like, obviously devastated because it was supposed to be a time where we got away and had all kinds of fun. And I had made it sound like it was going to be this amazing place. Because I'm like that. Like, I get excited about things. And I'm like, this is going to be awesome. Which can lead to letdown. So the trip was like not at all what we had expected. There was a restaurant at the motel location, and I was like, well, maybe the restaurant will be better. And we went in, and it was like the worst restaurant we've ever seen. Like, it was just a really bad experience. And that illustrates, like, I was thinking about that as I was preparing for this sermon this week, and I was thinking that, like, that story, that experience that Vicky and I had is a picture or an illustration of sometimes what our lives are like when we buy into someone else's promise, or when we buy into what we believe to be true, but it's not true. There are things that you and I believe about life. We believe if we achieve certain things, if we get certain experiences under our belt, or we have certain successes, that it gives us this experience of life as we want, as we desire. And then life is just disappointing. Or you think about some of the things that we put our hope in. You know, some new leader, you know, promises to pave the way for a new future, and we start to buy into that, and we're led to disappointment. Whatever it is, I think that if you're listening in today, you can relate with this feeling of having a lot of anticipation and then being let down. I think we've all experienced that at some point in our life. And that's exactly the experience that this psalmist in Psalm 120 is talking about. And so I'm going to read Psalm 120. It'll be up on the screen or on your screen in front of you. And just listen to the tone that this is being written in, because I think it's something that you'll be able to relate with. He says, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayer. Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people. O deceptive tongue, what will God do to you? How will he increase your punishment? You will be pierced with sharp arrows and burned with glowing coals. How I suffer in far-off Meshech. In pain, it pains me to live in distant Kedar. I'm tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace, but when I speak of peace, they want war. And so this psalmist, as he's putting his thoughts, he's directing his thoughts towards God, he's just talking about the place that he lives in. He's like, I'm surrounded by people that tell me lies. Like, they tell me things are going to get better and they don't get better. You know, I speak about wanting peace and they go after war. Like, the world that I live in is not giving what it promises. It's filled with people that say one thing and then live a completely different way, and my hopes are being dashed. You know, and again, that's something that we can relate to, but I think what a lot of us don't relate to is how this psalmist took his discouragement, took his frustrations, took his struggles to God in prayer. And this is what I want to encourage you and I to do. And this is what is applicable for us right now in the time that we're living in. Because we're living in a time where it is easy to be really let down. It's easy to be frustrated. It's easy to have more questions than answers. It's easy to be let down by the people around us, in our culture, in our society, in our city, that are supposed to be the ones that lead us and guide us. It's easy to feel let down. It's easy to feel disillusioned. And most times when people feel let down or disillusioned, we tend to give in to discouragement. But what the psalmist here is doing is, instead of giving in to discouragement, they're actually looking to God. And they're actually repenting of faulty ways of thinking. They're turning from worldly, faulty ways of thinking and saying, okay, God, I'm just going to embrace your way. I'm going to embrace your truth. And so repentance, and I really want to, as we look at this psalm, I want to draw out what it looks like to repent. And so repentance is an acknowledgement of sin and hopelessness. It's a turning away from one's own way and embracing God's way. It's a 180-degree turn. Okay, so I'm talking about just being annoyed or fed up with having been lied to in, you know, society by our leaders or whatever in our city or town, and just being fed up with that. And so there's a repentance to say, God, I'm going to stop putting my trust in humans and I'm going to turn to you. Okay? And there's also a repentance that as we talk, God might be bringing up some things that are very personal to you. So maybe there's some things in your life that are sinful or that you know are wrong, and repentance applies as well to that. In this psalm, he's talking in general terms. He's fed up with the ways of the world. He's fed up with putting his trust in human thinking, right? And he's saying, I'm going to turn away from that, and I'm going to turn towards God. But this also applies, like, there may be some things that you've done on a personal level or you're engaged in or doing that you need to turn from. And if God's bringing that up today as we look into this, I just want to encourage you to keep your heart open to him, be honest with God, and like this psalmist, bring this stuff to God. There might be a specific sin that you are turning to, something that you're turning to that's destructive in your life. And if God's bringing that up, I just want to encourage you to turn from that. So maybe you're not relating as much with just being fed up with what's going on around you as much as you are with the things you're engaged in on a personal level. And so at whatever way the Lord speaks to you, I just want to encourage you to respond as we look at this today. And so this will be on the screen. There's three steps to repentance, and we're just going to quickly work through them. The first is getting fed up. Okay, so I've touched on that a little bit, but it's in order to repent, in order to actually turn from something that is destructive or not helpful, you've got to get fed up, right? And so that could be getting to the point where you're fed up with believing the lies of the world, or in your own life. Again, if the Lord's bringing something up, maybe there's some sin you're involved in or doing in your own life. In order to turn from that, you've got to get fed up with it. You've got to get to the point where you're like, me turning to this isn't actually giving me peace. It's not giving me joy. It's just bringing more turmoil. And I'm getting to the point where I'm fed up. I want to turn from it. So fed up is really important. Talking to God about it. It's so vital to talk to God about the things that you're wrestling with, that you're struggling with. If you're actually going to turn from something and embrace something good, you've got to go to God. And I've got an example in a couple minutes that's going to really help make sense of that. And then the third one is making intentional changes. It's important to do, to be intentional with the changes you want to make. And so the first step is getting fed up. And I want to ask you this question. Are you fed up yet? And again, there's a couple different ways to think about this. Maybe you're fed up with just believing the lies of the world. Maybe you're fed up with the situation that you're in. But the other way is on the personal level, are you fed up with the things in your life that you know are sinful or are not right? In verse 2 of what we read, the psalmist says, "Rescue me, O Lord, from liars and from all deceitful people." Rescue me from liars and from all deceitful people. If you want to get fed up with the way things are, go spend an hour or two on Facebook, just reading posts and reading what people have to say about all of the events going on in our world. You very quickly feel confused and maybe even disillusioned. It's hard to know what to believe. It's hard to know what to latch onto, what to put your hope in. And sometimes all of the conversation that goes on about how things could be different or how things can change can be just exhausting. And I don't know about you, but I get to the point where I get fed up with it. And I can relate with the way that this psalmist wrote this psalm. He says, "Rescue me from liars and from deceitful people." I used to listen to an artist called John Rubin, and he's like a sort of a hip-hopper, does some spoken word. But he wrote, I just want to read you a few lines from a song he wrote back in 2005, and I think it was ahead of its time. And I remember listening to this, and this was before I was married, and it was really provocative, some of the things that he was saying. And now that I'm a bit older, I see a lot of the truth in what he was saying. But he says, "Everyone's got a hidden agenda. Watch them push it on you. Everyone's got a hidden agenda. Don't pretend not to. It's a battle for your mind and a battle for your pocketbook. They'll play on your emotions until your heart is hooked. See, I'm not sure if I can trust your heart, so don't feed me your lies disguised in sheep garb. Everyone's got an agenda. Can you tell me what for? Everyone's got an agenda. Can you tell me what's yours? From the liberal media to the conservative core, from politics to the dude trying to play it cool on the dance floor, it's human nature, runs deep and reeks of secrets." This guy, John Rubin, this album he put out in 2005 was called Boy Versus the Cynic. And he had gotten to the point where he was just cynical about the things in the world. He was, if you listen to the songs on the album, he was cynical about church. And he was a quite well-known artist at the time in the Christian world. But he had gotten to the point where he was just cynical. He had seen so much hypocrisy in the church, so much hypocrisy in government. Just hypocrisy everywhere. People saying one thing and doing another. And in this album, he expresses that. It's kind of a depressing album to listen to if you listen to the lyrics and hear what he's saying. But I really believe that there's a lot of truth to what he was saying. He sounds like the guy from Psalm 120 where he's saying, I'm just tired of being lied to. And in these lines that I read you, he's like, everyone's got an agenda. Watch them push it on you. And have you ever felt like that, where whoever you're talking to, whoever you're listening to, you feel that behind what they're saying, there is this agenda, and the agenda isn't to bless you or to give you peace. It is somehow to bolster themselves or their campaign or their platform or whatever. And it's easy to feel like I'm just being used, right? And the psalmist in 120, that's what he's crying out. He's saying, I'm just tired of being lied to. Like, who do I trust? Who do I listen to? Who do I follow? It feels like everybody's got this agenda. It feels like I'm just unimportant. All that people want from me is for me to buy into whatever it is that they're pursuing, and it has nothing to do with blessing me or giving me peace in any way. In the book, Long Obedience in the Same Direction, this quote will be on your screen. Eugene Peterson, he says, a person has to be thoroughly disgusted with the way things are to find the motivation to set out on the Christian way. As long as we think the next election might eliminate crime and establish justice, or another scientific breakthrough might save the environment, or another pay raise might push us over the edge of anxiety into a life of tranquility, we are not likely to risk the arduous uncertainties of the life of faith. A person has to get fed up with the ways of the world before she acquires an appetite for the world of grace. I love how Eugene Peterson so eloquently put that we have got to get to the point where we're thoroughly disgusted with the way things are to find the motivation to set out in the Christian way. Like, in order to really become a dedicated, all-in Jesus follower, you've got to get to the point where you're like, I'm just disgusted with the way things are. Like, I feel like I've been manipulated, or I feel like I've been lied to, and I just don't want to give in to that anymore. And so you set out to pursue Christ. And on a personal level, what this means for you and I personally is that we actually get disgusted with the way things are in here. You know, if we're honest, and so I'm talking in generalities in a lot of what I'm saying today. So it's easy to blame the world. Like, it's the leaders out there. It's the way people are doing things out here that's just messing things up. But if we're honest, we all contribute to the mess that is our lives. You know, we all give into things that actually cause destruction. We all give into ways of thinking that are destructive, ways of thinking that hurt other people. So we're going to get fed up. Like, we have got to get fed up with how we have bought into the lies or the ways of thinking, how we've actually caused harm, how we've actually done foolish and stupid things. In order to really follow Jesus, you got to get to the point where you're convinced that he is truth. He is the only way. You know, and in the middle of this pandemic might be one of the best times to do that, because we're left with ourselves for so much of the time. We're not allowed to be around other people. We're secluded. We're not allowed to gather in large groups. And so we've got all this time to process and to think. And I think a lot of people are battling with even what's going on in their own hearts and minds. And what I want to encourage you to do, if you are battling, to do what this psalmist is doing, is just get tired of the way things are. Get fed up with it and embrace God's truth. And if you're listening in today and you're not a follower of Christ, I know that you can relate with the fact that things are a mess. And you probably, if you're an honest person, can relate with the fact that you've contributed to that mess in your own life. You know, if we're honest, even the breakdown in relationships that we've experienced in our lives, we've contributed to that. And what this psalmist is saying is, he's saying, I've recognized that. I've recognized that not only have I been lied to, have I been deceived, but I've actually contributed to it. I've been a part of it, and I'm tired of it. I'm fed up. So the first one for repentance, the first step is fed up. Are you fed up? The second is talking to God about it. Verse 1 in what we read says, I took my troubles to the Lord. I cried out to him, and he answered my prayer. And so whenever you're discouraged, and even listening to a sermon like this, like, please go to God. When you face trouble, when you face difficulty, when you feel overwhelmed, when you maybe feel depressed or you feel like you can't go on, don't run from God in that time. Run to God. Like, go to him. That's what I love about the Psalms, is that if you read through the Psalms, and especially here, the Psalms of Ascent, people are dealing with issues that are real, very real to us. But the difference between them and us sometimes is that they actually went to God with this stuff. In our culture, a lot of times, you know where people go? Facebook. Or they rant about it to people that will agree with them. You know, people that'll just say, yeah, I agree, or me too, or whatever. Like, I want to encourage you, if you're fed up with the way things are, go to God. He is truth. You know, in the midst of lies, the thing that breaks a lie is the truth of God. When God shows up, there is no other truth. There is nothing that's more foundational than God himself. And so don't turn to other things. Don't give in to cynicism or disillusionment or discouragement. Like, turn to God. And so talk to God about it. I'm going to put this up on the, actually, before I put this up on the slide, I just want to ask this question, okay? This is a thought-provoking question, and I can't imagine it, and maybe it's because of my lack of faith. Okay, so I can't imagine this actually happening, but I want to ask this question. What if it did? What if our government encouraged us as a society to pray about COVID-19? Can you imagine? Like, you imagine if the government across Canada said, we don't know what to do. We don't know what the best way to move forward is. And so can we just encourage you to pray? Like, what if as a country, we said, we're going to just seek God about this? Like, you imagine the difference that would make? I am absolutely convinced that if we as a country were to turn to God in the midst of pandemics, in the midst of difficulties and challenges, things would happen in a very different way. Or the drug and opioid crisis. You know, I encouraged us a couple weeks ago to go down and help Northwind as they're moving into their new location. And for those of you who don't know, Northwind is right down on May Street by City Hall. It's kind of the center of the city of Thunder Bay. It's where there is a lot of drugs. Like, the opioid crisis, the drug crisis is in your face. I was down there with Esther last week painting, and like, even just looking out the window of the room we were painting in, there was people that had obviously just done drugs and were like tweaking out. And I mean, it's the middle of winter, it's minus 20, and people are out not dressed, and they've obviously just taken drugs and they're out of their mind. I was in one room, Esther was in the other, and Esther saw a guy that had collapsed right out in front of City Hall. The paramedics showed up and they put him in a bag. She said they zipped the bag right up over his head. I don't know if he survived, and they took him off in the ambulance. You know, that kind of stuff, for me as a pastor, like, it bothers me. And I'm like, what do we do? You know, there's not a lot of people who actually have answers to, like, well, this is how we could end the drug/opioid crisis. You know, our city is reeling with, like, what to do about that. There's all kinds of different approaches. Can you imagine, again, okay, I bring this up, just like the example with COVID-19, like, what if our city said, we need to pray? Like, what if we just sought God about that? What if we got fed up enough that we said, we're just fed up. We're fed up with the way that humans try to attack these issues, that they try to attack these problems, and we're obviously not making a difference. We're not doing what needs to be done. Let's just go to God. Like, what would happen, okay? So, like, the steps of repentance that I'm giving you are, like, one, get fed up, and two, talk to God. Imagine if we did this on a bigger scale, on a corporate level, if we just said, we got to go to God. We don't know what to do. Obviously, what humans are doing isn't working. Homelessness. I'll give that as the last example. But can you imagine? Like, all over Canada, we're dealing with homelessness in a very serious way. And it seems like human solutions are not fixing the problem. In the last couple weeks, I think it's in the last week in Thunder Bay, we've had two people die outside on our streets that have frozen to death because they're homeless and they've fallen asleep just outside. Like, it's devastating. This should not be happening. Can you imagine if we confess as a people, we don't have answers to how to fix this, let's go to God, let's pray. So if we got fed up, and then we would talk to God about it. Can you imagine the difference? I want to give an illustration that will hopefully make sense of what I'm saying. I think if you're listening in today, you're probably familiar with AA. AA is the most famous kind of program for dealing with addiction. Okay, so it started for alcohol, but then it's been, a lot of the material for AA has been used for NA, which is Narcotics Anonymous. Anyways, AA is built around what's called the 12 steps. And I'm going to read them quickly. And I was preparing for this sermon, and for some reason, the 12 steps of AA came to mind, and I looked them up and I read through them. I was like, man, like AA actually puts into application everything we're talking about from Psalm 120. Like just getting fed up with the way things are, talking to God about it, and then the third step is actually doing something about it. But I want you to see, and I'm going to read through these quickly, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time on it, but I want you to see how AA is universally accepted by Christians and non-Christians alike, okay? And they don't use language of Jesus as God's son. They talk about God in general terms. They talk about God as a higher power. But what I want you to see in this is that they realize, like, a person has to get fed up with the way things are, and they have to have some sort of an encounter with this higher power, with God, right? This is universally accepted because we know in our hearts that, like, if we're going to find answers to the struggles and difficulties of life, we're going to have to turn to God. So just think about that as we read through these 12 steps and let it encourage your heart. Step one is we admitted that we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. Step two, came to believe that a power greater than ourselves could restore us to sanity. Step three, made a decision to turn our will and our lives over to the care of God as we understood him. Four, made a searching and fearless moral inventory of ourselves. Five, admitted to God, to ourselves, and to another human being, the exact nature of our wrongs. Six, we were entirely ready to have God remove all these defects of character. Seven, humbly asked him to remove our shortcomings. Eight, made a list of all persons we had harmed and became willing to make amends to them all. Nine, made direct amends to such people wherever possible, except when to do so would injure them or others. 10, continue to take personal inventory, and when we are wrong, promptly admitted it. 11, sought through prayer and meditation to improve our conscious contact with God as we understood him, praying only for knowledge of his will for us and the power to carry that out. And then 12, having had a spiritual awakening as the result of these steps, we tried to carry this message to alcoholics and to practice these principles in all our affairs. Like, I don't know about you, but like reading through that was super encouraging for me because they're putting into practice everything we're talking about with Psalm 120. It's like in order to overcome the addiction to alcohol, you've got to get fed up with life as it is. And then you've got to talk to God about it. You've got to go, God, I am fed up and I will do whatever you want me to do. So then what that looked like was making amends with people that you had hurt, having an encounter with God where he did something on the inside to give you the power to walk away from this life-controlling addiction. Like, it's all in there. And this is a universally accepted program or method. Even people that are not Christians or churchgoers would say, yeah, AA works. You can't deny that it works because it's actually built on principles that come straight out of Scripture. It's all built on repentance. It's just you coming to this point of acknowledgement that, like, God's way is true and mine is not. Whatever I've been doing has been leading to destruction, to disillusionment, to discouragement, to chaos. But embracing God's way actually brings life and hope and peace. The last thing, and I'm going to bring this to a close. I get excited, so I don't even have a clock in front of me. The one upstairs is broken, so I don't know where we're at with time. Maybe I've gone too long. So the last step, okay? So in the three steps for repentance, I'll just say the first two. It's getting fed up, talking to God about it, and then the last one is making intentional changes. And in verses 6 and 7 in the psalm that we read, 120, he says, I'm tired of living among people who hate peace. I search for peace, but when I speak of peace, they want war. So he's reiterating, like, I'm just tired of living amongst people this way. And again, this was sung by ancient Israelites who were ascending up to Jerusalem. They were leaving their norm, and they were going up to a worship festival to worship God. They broke off from the normal routine of life to embrace God's way. And that's what it means. To make an intentional change means that you break off from some regular, normal routine that could be a destructive habit or a destructive way of thinking, and you say, I'm just going to embrace God's way. It's a 180-degree turn. And so maybe on a societal level, like maybe you've been discouraged by leaders in our current situation that we're in. Maybe you've been burned out by church or politicians or leaders at work or whatever it is. And I would encourage you to turn to God to deal with that frustration or that discouragement. And I'm going to give an application in a second. But on a personal level, maybe you're listening to this and you do struggle with drinking or smoking or sexual impurity, sexual immorality in some way. Maybe it's an attitude that you know is a bitter attitude or an arrogant or prideful attitude. Maybe it's gluttony. Whatever it is. Maybe there's something that is coming up and rising to the surface as we talk about this, and you're getting to the point where you're like, I'm just fed up with it. I want to encourage you, if you are, acknowledge that you're fed up with it, talk to God about it, and make some kind of intentional change where you walk away from that intentionally, where you put something in writing or you talk to somebody else about it where you're like, I'm fed up to the point where I'm actually going to make a change. And you're going to ask God to empower you to do it. If you're not reading the scriptures on a regular basis, I want to encourage you to do that. And if you want to, if that's intimidating to you, ask me. Like, there are some incredible resources that could help you understand and read the scriptures on a daily basis. If you're not praying on a regular basis, I would encourage you to find somebody who you know does pray. Get together with them and pray. And if one of those examples that I gave that's in your personal life, you know you're involved in something that's destructive and you're tired of it, I want to just challenge you to make an intentional decision to walk away from that and give it to God. I'm going to read one scripture, and then I'm going to pray, and then we're going to play a worship song by Hannah and Tyler. This is also from the Psalms, and I'm going to read it in the Message version. It's in Psalm chapter 27. This is my heart. I read this week, and it fits really well with what we're talking about, but this is my desire, and I hope this becomes your desire as well. Psalm 27, verses 4 and 5 says, I'm asking God for one thing, only one thing, to live with him in his house my whole life long. I'll contemplate his beauty. I'll study at his feet. That's the only quiet, secure place in a noisy world, the perfect getaway, far from the buzz of traffic. So as we think about the chaos and the craziness of this world, doesn't that resonate with you? You know what this psalmist is saying? Like, I'm asking God for one thing, just to live with him in his house my whole life long, contemplating his beauty, resting in his presence. Like, what a peaceful thought. Let's pray. Lord, I just pray that you would give each one of us that's looking at this passage this week the strength to embrace you, Jesus, the strength to say yes to you. Lord, if anybody's listening in and has acknowledged maybe some sinful behavior or practice in their life, please give them the strength to turn from that and to embrace you. And God, in the middle of all this noise and chaos of what we're experiencing right now, I just pray that, Lord, you'd help us to look to you and to experience and encounter your peace. Help us to be bright lights for you. Help us to not get burned out when we feel like we're being lied to or deceived, but Lord, that we would recognize, Lord, that human nature is destructive and does give into sin, but Jesus, you are truth. Help us to embrace you and to give our lives to you. We love you, God. I pray your blessing on each person this week. In Jesus' name, amen. I just want to encourage you, Hannah and Tyler are going to sing this song, and just to take a couple minutes and think about maybe what the Lord is speaking to you and make either a plan to intentionally walk towards him in some way. But just spend these couple minutes just praying and worshiping God, and we'll see you next week.